Tonight we're in verse number 19. We're going to look at a number of scriptures if we could. All right? Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 19. If I could get just a tad more up here. Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 19. All right. Talking about life in the family of Calvary Baptist Church. Well, I tell you what, I'm glad I'm a part of the family of God, and I'm in general, and I'm glad that I'm a part of the Calvary Baptist Church family in particular. I'm glad that God led my family here 14 years ago, and excited about what God's doing and where we are and what He has in front of us, and the Lord has been so good. Look, if you would, verse number 19. The Bible says, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God." Notice he's saying that once we're saved, we're no longer strangers and foreigners. We're fellow citizens. We're part of the family of God, of the household of God. Verse 20. "And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." You know what I just learned? That the family of God and the local church, all right, where we meet as the Lord's family here at Calvary Baptist Church, is a special matter. It's a special matter. Notice, if you would, in verse number 2, God said that we're builded together. We are brought together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. You know what the good news is about Calvary Baptist Church? Is the sound okay? All right, everything all right? Everything okay back there? Good. All right. Just want to make sure. It sounds just a little different up here. Not sure why. We'll work all that out. Not a big deal. All right. As long as you can hear me, that's okay. Not a worry. So anyway, so it's a special entity. Do you realize that when we come together as a church, it's so different than the meeting of a social club or a country club? You say, "Preacher, why is that?" Because we are the habitation of God. God dwells in us. And when we come together as a church, God is in the midst. Now, do we understand tonight that God doesn't hang around here from Sunday to Wednesday waiting on us to come back? No, when we go, guess what? He's in us. And so individually, as we scatter, we're Calvary Baptist Church scattered, and the Lord is in us. When we come together as a church in these meeting times, God is in the midst of us. God is meeting with us. Hey, I'm glad to come and meet with you. I hope you are glad to come and meet with me. But you know what's greater than all of that? We all get to meet with God. Isn't that a blessing? That's what the uniqueness of the local church is. And we need to understand that membership in a local church matters. It is a big deal to God. And it ought to be a big deal to you and me. It ought to be that. As a matter of fact, when you study the Bible, the New Testament, there is no such thing as an out-of-the-body believer. Every believer is a part of the body of Christ, and every Christian ought to be a part of a New Testament Bible-believing church like this church. And so it's right to be a part of a church. And I believe God is impressing upon us that the church is not just an organization. It is a living organism. It's made up of people who have been born again. We've been made alive in Jesus Christ. We've been immersed in baptism as a testimony of our faith in Christ and the newness of life that we have in Him. And we've chosen, voluntarily chosen, to band ourselves together to worship God, to serve God, to carry His work out in the world. Hey, listen, folks, the good news is not only do we get to meet with God, but we get to go for God out into the world. Isn't that a blessing? Hey, we're in God's business. We're doing His matters. And as a church, it's a big deal to be a part of a Bible-believing church. Now, being a member of a local church is a commitment to a body of believers, all right? A body of believers. And a body of doctrine and the body of Christ. And so when we come together, we're committing ourselves. You know why some people don't ever want to get married? They don't want to commit to marriage. You know why some people don't want to join a local church? They don't want to be committed to a church. They want to attend church, but they don't want to be committed to a church. Do you realize that God wants our commitment? God said He wants us to be faithful. Moreover, it's required in a steward that he be found faithful. God desires faithfulness amongst His people, and we're committing ourselves to a body of believers, Calvary Baptist Church, a body of doctrine that is based in the pages of the Word of God, and then the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not just anybody. Friend, listen, the good news is that we're the Lord's body. We have a mission tonight that God's given us. I've spoken about it multiple times. Every time a group of potential members or new members comes together in Starting Point class, they learn and understand why God has raised us up for such a time as this. And it is the mission, listen carefully, it is the mission of Calvary Baptist Church to honor God in all that we do as a ministry. To build lives through the practical teaching and preaching of God's Word, and to reach others both at home and abroad with the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. And so what we would see would be honoring God, building lives, reaching others. We honor God, build lives, reach others. Would you say that with me tonight? You ready? 1, 2, 3. Honor God, build lives, reach others. That's what we exist to do. Somebody says, what does Calvary Baptist Church exist for? It ought to be as simple as saying, you know what? God has brought us together to honor Him in this day, in this hour, in all of our lives, how we worship, what we do, to build lives to the glory of God, and then to reach our community and our world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe that's why we exist right here on Main Street, is to do those three tasks. Honor God, build lives, and reach others. So what does that look like, preacher? Well, let's talk about that, because this is life. In Calvary Baptist Church, all right? I don't know why it says why we're Baptist, because we've already finished all that up, and I had a secretary who had a kid sick, and so just ignore what's on the screen, all right? Other than Starting Point, Wednesday night series, all right? Other than that, and so anyway. So number one, there is a commitment to honoring God. A commitment to honoring God. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30, the Bible says, "Wherefore the Lord God said of God of Israel saith, I said indeed unto thy indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever." He's talking to Eli here, the judge Eli. And Eli's family has been wicked before the Lord. And God said, I wanted your family to serve me forever. I placed you in the priest's office to function, but you're not doing what I asked you to do. He said, but now the Lord saith, be it far from me. For them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. You know what God just said right there? Here is a principle every Christian needs to understand. When I honor God, God honors me. When you honor God, God honors you. That's a principle. When I honor God, whatever area of my life that is, when I honor God with that area of my life or with my life in general or us as a church, God has promised to honor it. When we honor something, what does that mean? It means we give weight to it. We give respect or reverence. It means to highly esteem. Let me just simply put it this way. When we honor God as a church, we're putting God where He belongs. We're letting God have the proper place in our lives, our marriages, our families, our homes, this church. We're saying, God, we want to honor You. We want to give You the proper place, the place of priority in our lives. How do we do that? And that's important. I need to ask that question. How do we do that? Well, jot down Mark chapter 12 and verse 30. Jot that verse down. Here's what the Bible says in Mark 12, 30. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. Notice the Lord said that we're to love God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Not just some of it, not just part of it, not just most of it, but the Lord said we're to love Him with all that is within us, every fiber of our being. We're to love God supremely with our lives. And He said this is the first commandment. Friend, listen, you know the starting point of our lives is to love God with everything that's in us the way we ought to love Him. And you know what? There's times I always love God the way I ought to love Him. What about you? There's times I fall short of that, but I sure want to. And we ought to desire to love Him. And so how do we do that? How do I show God that I'm loving? Well, I seek Him first. I seek Him first. That Matthew 6:33. Jot that verse down, okay? Matthew 6:33. Seek Him first. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then you know what He says after that? All these things shall be added unto you. You know what the problem is? A lot of times we're chasing all these things when we ought to be pursuing God. We ought to be seeking Him. We seek everything but God. And I believe He's saying that if we're going to honor Him, then we need to seek Him first. We ought to be a Matthew 6:33 Christian. And I love God by seeking first the kingdom of God. I want God and His will and bring myself in alignment with Him. I want that to be first. I want that to be paramount in my life as a Christian. And that ought to be paramount in our church, that we seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All right? So if I'm going to honor God, all right, and what does that look like? Seeking Him first. Next, doing all to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. I'm going to read that verse to you real quickly. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 31, he says, "Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do." And wonder why he said eat and drink. Well, that's because he's dealing with an issue in that local church as it had to do with whether or not you ate meat that had been sacrificed to an idol. And talking about making your brothers to stumble. And God said, here's a principle. Whatever I do, whether it's eating, drinking, the very basic necessities of life, in the decision making of life, whatever I do, He says, do all to the glory of God. Listen, we want to glorify God. We want our music to glorify God. We want our Sunday school to glorify God. We want the pulpit to glorify God. We want the ministries of our church to glorify God. How we live to glorify Him. Listen, folks, we exist to bring glory to the God of heaven, to lift Him up. Lift Him up. Every service we ought to lift Him up and glorify Him. And then let me give you one more thing of what that looks like, and that's making Christ preeminent in our lives. Making Christ preeminent in our lives. Colossians 1:18, and I'm just going to give it to you, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Do you know what preeminence means? There's a difference between God being prominent in a church and being preeminent in a church. There's a difference between God being prominent in a life and being preeminent in a life. All right, when God's prominent in a life, that means He's important. All right, but guess what? I got a whole lot of other things that are important in my life too, don't you? How many of you have important things in your life? Yeah. Okay? So God is just another prominent or important thing in my life. All right, you follow me? But now watch it. If He's preeminent in my life, He's preeminent, that means that nothing else comes in front of Him. There's nothing more important than God in my life. Do you realize that God is more important than my wife? God is more important than my children. You say, wait a minute. How in the world can... Wait a minute. Do you realize that my wife understands that if I love God the way I ought to love Him, that I'm going to love her better? When we love God most, we love others best. So when we get God in His proper place in our lives, then every other relationship in our life flows out of that. And it enables us to love better. And when Christ is preeminent, then everything else in our lives begin to fall in place. And you know, a lot of times people are setting priorities. All right, God first, church second, this third, family, on down the line, or God, family, church, whatever. And they make these lists. Well, you know what? That's really not a priority list. Okay? What it is there's times that all of these things in our lives, some of them, are equally important. Okay? And therefore, what I do is I take the important things of my life and I put them out there and I list them and all of that, and then I put God right above every one of them because God is preeminent. And folks, listen, He ought to be preeminent in every area of our life. Not just my worship life, but my wedded life, my work life, my recreation life, how I spend my leisure. Listen, God ought to be preeminent in all of that. He ought to. And He ought to be preeminent in our church. Jesus said if we lift Him up, He'll draw men to you. So how do we do that? All right? And I've sort of give you a definition of what honoring God is. It's seeking Him first. It's doing all to the glory of God. It's making Christ preeminent. And so what? How's that fleshed out? All right? In the local church, in life, in Calvary Baptist Church. Well, you don't have your notes, but I'm going to give them to you, okay? So I participate in the worship service. of the local church. I participate in the worship services of the local church. Respond to God. Let me give you a verse, Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Can I tell you, and can I be real kind and help us tonight, that there is no incident on earth that negates Hebrews 10:25. Not one. We are commanded to gather as a church. There's no incident that would negate the command of Hebrews 10:25, that we're not to forsake the assembling of God's people. And we realize that for some, the best way for them to assemble right now is to assemble online. But as soon as they're able, they need to assemble back. We need to assemble here together as a church. We suspended our worship services for about 9 weeks. But there came a point where we said, wait a minute, we can't do this anymore. Why? Because God has commanded us to assemble as a group of believers. And you cannot fulfill Hebrews 10:25 if we're not assembling together as a church. Can't do it. And we need to come together and do that. The church is a support group for believers. Let me just tell you what drove my thinking other than the scriptures in this area. Because when you look at the government, the government's going to sit back and say, okay, well, if you're an alcoholic, then alcohol is essential for you, so we're going to leave the ABC stores open. Well, if you need recreational marijuana to get you through life, then we're going to leave the recreational marijuana stores open. They're essential. If you need an abortion, we're going to leave the abortion clinics open. They're essential. But listen, people of God, you're not essential. You can't worship. I thought to myself, as long as they're selling alcohol and marijuana and doing abortions, we need to be here in the house of God. This is essential for me. I can't live without it. We need to come together and we need to worship Him. And for some of our most vulnerable, they need to protect themselves. And that's why it's so important that you tune in every service, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, tuned in. And come into that 8:30 service where there's less people, and to be able to gather and all of that in that morning, in that early service, and all of that. We need to be faithful in these areas and make that a priority and a preeminent matter of our lives. Letter B, we need to honor the Lord with our lives and our families. We need to do that. We need to honor the Lord with our time. You know, time is a precious gift that God's given us. Listen, you know, time is one of those things, once it's passed, it's gone. You don't ever get it back. And that's why the Bible says, redeem the time. And I need to give God my time. And I need to give Him the giftedness that He's given me. And then I need to respond to Him in my tithes and offerings and giving to the Lord. It's called stewardship of life. I need to be a good steward of the different areas of life that God's given me as I respond to Him in those different areas. And so I want to honor Him. You know, I've just found that you can't outgive God. When I honor God with my giving, God honors me. He blesses me. That doesn't always mean that God writes me a heavenly check and puts it in my bank account, but I tell you what, He sure makes my 90% go further than I could ever make my 100% go on my own. And of course, God's helped me to grow in my giving, that I give well beyond 10% of what the Lord's blessed me and given me back to Him. And you know what? I can't afford not to give to God. God has blessed me, and it's not because of the financial blessing. It's the fact that God blesses us. It's a joy to be able to give to the Lord. It is. It's a pleasure to give to Him. Because God's taking care of me. God's meeting my needs. God's being faithful. And I get to respond back to Him. And we honor God in those areas. Then God blesses us and helps us. Let me give you another one. Letter C. I honor God by participating in the worship services of the local church, by honoring the Lord with my life and family. And then letter C, walking with God and allowing Him to conform me to Christ. I know that's a little bit long to write down, but walking with God and being conformed to Christ. How does God do that, preacher? I'm going to give you two ways real quickly. Two vital ingredients that ought to be a part of every Christian's life. You say, preacher, what is it? Number one, the Word of God. Job said this about this book. Are you ready? He said that he esteemed God's word more than his necessary food. You know what Job said? We think, well, boy, if I don't eat, I'm going to starve to death. I'm going to starve to death. You know what God says? If you don't eat, you're going to starve to death. Just as I need physical food to nourish my body physically, we need the spiritual food of the Word of God to nourish our soul spiritually, lest we become emaciated, unless we become anemic, unless our lives... Listen, I can just tell you, we're going to dry up, we're going to wither, we're going to die if there's not a daily diet of the Word of God in our lives. We need the Bible. And Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I need all of the Bible, not just some of it, not just part of it. I need all of it. Every word of God is pure. I need that. Let me give you a verse, Joshua 1:8. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Folks, we need the Bible in our lives. We need to read the Bible. We need to hear the Bible preached and taught. We need to learn and study the Bible for ourselves. We need to understand what God says. He said that it shouldn't depart out of our mouth. That means that we're taking in the Word of God. We're meditating upon it day and night. That means it's a part of our daily lives that we might observe to do. God said, I'm not just giving it to you so you can learn it. I'm giving you a Bible so you can live it. Live life successfully. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Friend, listen, we will never be successful apart from living out the Word of God in our daily lives. I want to talk to you a minute about meditation. Can I do that? Let me close tonight by just talking about meditation for a little bit. Meditation is a lost art among Christians. We just don't do a lot of it. We're too busy to meditate. Now, here's the good news. You don't have to sit in a quiet room with your legs crossed and your hands in the air and your fingers pressed together to meditate. You don't have to do that. Okay? I got good news for you. Especially you folks that just can't sit still. That doesn't mean you can't meditate. All right? Meditate is not a passive matter. It is an active matter. It is not emptying my mind. It is filling my mind. God will never tell you to empty your mind. He'll tell you to guard your heart. He'll tell you to take every thought captive in obedience to Christ, but He'll never tell you to empty your mind. You know why? Because the moment you empty your mind, Satan will fill your mind. He will. So what is meditation, preacher? It's the difference between being a tourist and an explorer in the Bible. A tourist will hit the high spots. They'll read Psalm 23, John 14, jump over to 1 Corinthians 15, maybe move over to another exciting place of the Bible, and they'll read a little bit there. And they're sort of just hop, skipping, and jumping through the Bible to some, you know, passages they like to read, Psalm 23, Psalm 119, and they're just hitting some high spots here and there. Does that help you? Absolutely, it's good. But that's not meditation. That's not going to change your life. Meditation is the explorer. That's the person that gets beneath the surface and takes time to see what's there. That means that I'm taking the time to understand when God says a certain thing in the Scriptures or a certain truth, that I want to understand it. I want to learn it. I don't want to just know it. I want to live it. I want to meditate on it. Let me tell you, meditate on some things. And I'm just going to tell you real quick, okay? I can do it in just a couple of minutes. I just brought a quick note in my life. Matter of fact, you're going to find that the word meditation is used about 16 times in the Bible. It's commanded of the Lord. It's going to take a little concentration, okay? Because God said that will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. What I'm doing is I'm staying my mind on the Lord by thinking about His Word. So, preacher, what do I do when I come to the Bible and I'm looking for something? All right, well, let me give you some thoughts real quickly about when you go to the Bible, what you need to look for so you can meditate on it. First of all, you need to look for Jesus. You need to find Him on the pages of the Bible. I want to learn something about God today. God, what are You going to teach me about You? I might come to Malachi chapter 2 where the Bible says, I am the Lord, I change not. I just learned something about God. God doesn't change. What does that mean? That means that God's love never changes, His holiness never changes, His faithfulness never changes, His mercy never changes. Who God is, He always is. And you know what? I can just sit back and think about that for a while. Everything around us changes. We change. Everything changes. Friend, listen, can I tell you the good news is God never changes. I just found something about my God. And I'm learning it. I find that His mercy endures forever. I find that His faithfulness reaches to the clouds. I begin to read, and as I do that, I'm looking for something about God that teaches me about who my God is, because I want to know Him. The Bible was given that I might know God, and I want to look for Him on the pages of Scripture. So I look for God. I look for Jesus. Then not only I can look for His character, His conduct, His conversation, His commands. You know what Psalm 104 verse 34 says? My meditation of Him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. When you and I begin to see God in the pages of Scripture, do you know what happens? The Bible begins to come alive for us. I'm not just reading to get my chapters done. No, I'm looking for something. I'm looking for God, because this book's about God. And then I can think about God, and when I do that, it becomes sweet and joy begins to fill my heart. Isn't that a blessing? I need to look for concepts. Well, what does that mean, preacher? I need to find some principles and some timeless truths. I've got one. I just sort of laid my Bible open right here in 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. You know what I just learned there? Here's a concept that in every temptation, God is faithful to make a way of escape. He will see me through it. I just learned something about God right then. I just learned something about temptation. I learned a timeless truth that with every temptation, I do not have to fall prey to it. I can find a way of escape. And sometimes it is simple as saying no. I don't have to say yes. Young man, young lady, you don't have to say yes. You can say no. Hey, always say yes to God. Always say no to the devil and sin. Isn't that a good? Right there, I just learned a truth. I found a timeless truth. Look creatively. Look with creativity. Now, what do you mean by that, preacher? When you're reading the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, reading some stories, don't just read the narrative, okay? You know, sometimes we're just, okay. And we get done and we wonder, what did I just read? I don't have a clue. So put yourself there. Imagine what it must have been like. Imagine, okay? Here's the disciples on the Sea of Galilee, and there's a storm. Put yourself there. Think about it. Wonder what it must have been like. How would you have felt? Have you ever been afraid in a storm? And you were on water. Have you ever been fearful in a difficult time? So you put yourself there. What it must have been like, the rock moving back and forth, the smell of the water, the wind hitting you in the face, the driving rain, the waves crashing over the boat filling up. They're trying to put water out. Imagine that. And suddenly you see something out in the ditch. Now it's pitch black dark. I mean, it's raining. It's winds blowing, waves crashing, and suddenly you see somebody out there on the water. And they're screaming. Guess what? You'd been screaming too. When's the last time you saw somebody walking on the water? And Jesus comes up and they recognize Him. And He speaks to them. They hear His voice. And Peter says, Lord, it's You. And if it's You, let me come walking. Imagine Him getting up out of the boat. Now see, it's not a little canoe. It's not a rowboat. It's not even a jumbo. It's a pretty good sized fishing boat. And He climbs up over the side, steps out on the water, and He begins walking to Jesus. And then He does what we do, get our eyes off the Lord. Next thing you know, He's sinking. And He cries out, Lord, save me. And suddenly the Lord's hand comes out and He lifts Peter up. See, read with creativity. Put yourself there. Feel it. Smell it. Imagine it. Live it. Let God speak to you through it. And then let me give you this and I'll be done. Look continuously. You say, preacher, I don't always see all those things. Well, maybe we don't take time to see. Maybe what we're doing... And listen, I'm not being unkind. I'm not. And I'm not against reading the Bible through in a year. I'm for it. I'm thankful for reading the Bible through on a regular basis. But if you're just cataloging chapters, that's all you're doing. You're just cataloging your chapters. How's it helped you? I mean, I'm sure it benefits us. But half the time I got to read... And by the way, you can read a simple four chapters a day and you'll get through your Bible, and that's good. And I think you should. Everybody ought to read through the Bible. You ought to read through as many times as you can. But if all I'm doing is logging chapters, check, 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 but I don't ever learn anything. I don't ever see anything. I don't ever feel anything. I'd rather read one chapter and put myself in it and live it than to read five chapters and can't remember what I read. So, preacher, I got 15 minutes today. You've got 1,189 chapters in the Bible. Okay? If you read one chapter a day, yes, it would take you a little over 3 years to read through your Bible. You're exactly right. It would. That's a little longer than the Bible a year. And listen, I'm just saying that if all you're doing is logging chapters, maybe you need to try something different. And maybe you need to get you a notebook. And maybe you need to get one chapter a day and say, God, talk to me today. Instead of taking 20 minutes to read five chapters and I can't remember what I read, I'm going to take the same 20 minutes and I'm going to read one chapter and I'm going to let God talk to me. Let me ask you a question. I'm going to finish tonight. Say, we're talking about honoring Him. I need to honor God in my Bible reading. When was the last time God talked to you out of the Bible? When was the last time you heard His voice? Just asking. You see, I've logged chapters throughout my life. I have. But I want more than logging chapters. I want God to talk to me. I want to hear His voice. I want my meditation of Him to be sweet. I want to be glad in the Lord. I want God to say something to me. How many? You don't have to lift your hand. How many want God to say something to you from the Bible? Then let's go there looking for Him. Let's put ourselves in the Scripture. Let's look for timeless truths. Let's look for something. God, show me something today. God, help me to behold wondrous things out of Thy law. And Lord, I'm just going to keep looking till You show me something. I might not have got anything today. But Lord, I'm going back tomorrow. I'm just going to keep looking. And I'm going to keep looking. And you know what? Over time, as you begin to get your little notebook, you begin to get down the Scriptures. Maybe you just jot down a few things here and there as God spoke to your heart. Have some type of something that you're reading through or God speaking to your heart. And let God speak to you. Let your meditation of Him be sweet. And then carry it with you through the day. Or through the evening. Or lay on your bed at night and think about what you just read. Let God talk to you. And you know what's going to happen? The Bible will come alive in your life. You know what's going to happen? God's going to get in His right place in your life. And you know what's going to happen after that? You're going to begin to honor God in ways you never honored Him before. That's sweet. That's good. And that's what we're after. Life change. Change me. I want my Bible to change me. Do you want your Bible to change you? I do. Let's honor Him and let Him change us. Let's stand to our